This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
To return to the lineup for Buffalo and expected to be on the line again with Alex Tuck and Tage Thompson. Puck drop for Buffalo and Utah set for 9 o'clock tonight. The pregame show starting at 8 here on WGR. The Sabres also announcing today an extension with defenseman Jacob Bryson. That would be for 1 year, $900,000. Around the NHL, Alex Ovechkin still 8 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. Washington playing against Philadelphia tonight at 7 o'clock. First round of March Madness all day today. And, well, if you're a Clemson fan or a Georgia fan, you're probably already looking away from the television. Gonzaga up 30-10 on Georgia in the first half, halfway through the first half there. Meanwhile, Clemson is still struggling against McNeese. McNeese up 48-29 on the 5-seed Clemson Tigers. Auburn coasting at this point, the top overall seed up 74-53 on Alabama State, while BYU up by 11 on VCU at halftime. To the NBA, the Boston Celtics were reportedly sold for $6.1 billion, according to ESPN. That would surpass the price that the Washington Commanders were sold for back in 2023. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet celebrating 90 years of business. I'm Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Did you know, then, that the Tampa Bay Lightning played in, what, until this year anyway, which isn't this year because of the damage to the facility, the Rays Stadium?
I knew they played in a cavernously large place at one point that I think had a curtain to cordon it off because they would not have used that entire building. But it wasn't until you asked the question you asked me during the break that I remembered that and thought maybe that could have been that building. I remember them being in a really big building that might have, like, when they first started, they might have fit like 20,000 or even a little more in for hockey.
Yeah, they might have. Didn't they have for their first game Chris Kontos? Didn't they have for their first game, like, the record crowd of all time
that
in
might,
hockey?
That might be right.
In that building. I don't know if I never knew this.
Except for, like, outdoor games and stuff, yeah.
Which hadn't happened yet.
Right.
At least mostly. If I ever knew that that was the same building, I forgot.
Yeah, I don't think I ever put it together, but you asked in here why this came up was Sneaky Joe, I guess, has been on a quest, and I don't want to spoil anything if he's saving something for the morning. Okay, I won't say any more then.
I don't want to ask that particular question because he might have plans for it. It's great. Okay. But what he was doing today, and, you know, my guy, what he was doing today was looking up every arena the Sabres have ever played in or stadium. Which is amazing.
Yep.
You know whether they'll play in a new one for them tonight. That's the reason probably for
sure.
It.
Yep.
That would be the Delta Center, which is a name I know because of the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
The Delta Center, that's been the name of that arena All the time.
I don't remember it having a different name other than maybe like the whatever it was called before it had a sponsor. I don't remember being anything other than the Delta Center. And it's not exactly configured extremely well for hockey.
It's not?
There's some seating issues.
Okay.
The way they've got it configured, but, you know, they're going to try to get through it.
I wonder what the number is of facilities the Sabres have played in the regular season. Joe texted me earlier to ask me why the Sabres would have played the Penguins in Sacramento in 1993. But they did. And we figured that out. What the league did that year, the North Stars had just moved to Dallas, and expansion was happening. And I don't know if they were testing markets, but they put regular season games in like markets like Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams were Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Florida played a home game in Hamilton or Toronto that year. Like there was. Maybe every team did it. The Sabres played the Islanders in
Minnesota, you said.
In Minnesota.
Yeah.
Which did not have an NHL team that year. So, Arco Arena, which was where the Kings played. I doubt they play there anymore, but I don't know. That's 30 years ago.
I'm almost sure they don't play.
They probably
there
have a new place.
Yeah.
But the Sabres have a regular season game in their history played in Arco Arena in Sacramento. So, what is the number of. What would Joe's number be of. Arenas and stadiums, you know, Ralph Wilson Stadium, Citi Field for the Winter Classic against the Rangers.
Hamilton, the
Cops.
Cops Coliseum. Or no, Cops, the stadium they played in there outside. They played the Leafs outside in a Heritage Classic in Hamilton.
Oh.
The football stadium there where the Ticats play.
Okay, and they have a new stadium there. Not maybe brand new, but what was the name of that? Ivor Wynn?
Yeah, that sounds
right. What was
the name of it? Yeah.
I've been there for a football game.
Right, I know. That's why I remembered it.
So cool.
Yeah.
Right in a neighborhood in Hamilton,
right,
Ontario.
Very old school. Yeah.
But they would have played in Cops too, the Sabres, I think. Didn't they do that?
I don't know. I don't recall, but I didn't recall any of this. Like, you know, really, especially the Sabres playing the Penguins in Sacramento or the Islanders in Minneapolis. I did not remember any of that. It would make sense if they did play at Cops, but I don't remember.
Do you think it's 100?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet it's 100.
Go back to 1970. Take a team, Boston. All right, that's two.
Right. everybody they played early is already onto at least a second building. Right.
Everybody. So, what's the oldest building in the league right now? You were on a different train of thought.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, there are 60. Everyone from back then. There weren't 30 teams. So that let me take that back.
Even though, I mean, the Sharks are what, 91? And they played at a place called the Cow Palace.
Right.
And then moved to San Jose Arena. And now they have probably a different... Sharks are probably three.
Probably three, right.
If not more.
And then whatever... The California Golden Seals were probably at the Cow Palace too.
Well, no. Maybe eventually. I looked them up today for Joe's...
purposes.
In the Sabres' first season... And they would have played all the teams home and away, I think, you know, through the 70s, that's what they did. Maybe the 80s, that's also what they did. But they played in a building called the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum Arena, or County Arena, something like that.
Right.
It's like the stadium name with arena after it.
Okay.
And there was an arena right next to that stadium where the A's played and the Raiders.
Right, okay.
And that might be that. Unless it's the new place where the Warriors are. I don't know. I love it. How many would it be 100? Would it be close to 100?
I'm going to guess yes, because of not only do you have, like, you know, all the teams that were in the league when the Sabres came in the league that have at least two, if not more than that, but a lot of these teams, like this, like Tampa, San Jose, teams that came in, you know, in the 90s have, like, San Jose's got three buildings. Like, Montreal only has two.
Montreal has two.
Right. San Jose's got three. They've been in the league like a third of the time, a quarter of the time that Montreal's been in the league, but they got one more building. So you've got the Cleveland Barons. You've got the Kansas City Scouts, like defunct organizations that I would say almost assuredly had only one building, but they count.
Kemper?
I don't know what the heck. I don't know where the heck Kansas City played.
I did
see the Scouts play in Buffalo. Yeah. I saw a Kansas City Scouts game. As the show ever sounded old.
What about Cleveland?
Richfield Coliseum.
Richfield Coliseum, where the Cavs played.
It was way outside.
Yes, it's
Cleveland.
Not in Cleveland.
It's not even in Cleveland.
It's way down. You go into Cleveland and then south.
Yeah.
I think.
I remember driving with my family south to go to Nashville, go to Florida. Cincinnati was always our target. That's why we would stop and go to a Reds game like the first night of the trip, you know, get into Cincinnati 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, go get some tickets, get some dinner, go to a ball game. So that ride, you know, you get past Cleveland. And I can remember as a kid being well past Cleveland and seeing this Coliseum, like, just like in a wheat field.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, what a bad idea that is. But anyway,
here is Sneaky Joe. Joe,
hey, what's up?
This is so cool, this project here. I'm wondering how many. So you found, you think, every building the Sabres have ever played in?
Yeah, at least all the data was from Hockey Reference or Stathead. So as long as they've got everything listed, and I think they probably do, they had arenas and stadiums I'd never heard of going back to the 1900s. So
hey, careful.
The number that I found from that was 82.
82.
Okay. Tonight will be 82.
But I was wondering if it got to 100, but it didn't quite then.
I was going to bet that it would have got to 100, so I would have been wrong.
No. I mean, Tampa tried. I think I found 6 buildings that they played Tampa in, maybe. Was one of them the Cow Palace?
No,
San Jose.
Cow Palace is California. Yeah.
San Jose. Thunderdome, I mentioned to you, Mike, in a text. That was what Tropicana Field used to be called. There were a bunch of Tampa ones. I just tweeted out the spreadsheet, just so if anyone just wants to rifle through it, it's there.
I can't wait. I mean it. I cannot wait.
It was right there, too, so it was just easy to copy and paste. So I threw all the records in for all those arenas, too. So you can look and see, like, that they were, like, 20 and 80, in, for instance.
20 and 80 in where? Bad connection with Joe.
If I remember it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm driving. I might be cutting out on you, but I was just saying the Boston Garden. Yeah.
Boston Garden. All right.
Yeah.
There must have been some fun ones for you. I mean, at your young age, to rip through names like the Omni in Atlanta,
right.
Or McNichols Arena would be Denver.
Yes, before the
Rockies.
Place. Yep.
Brendan Byrne.
Right.
Jersey.
Okay.
When the Rockies moved to be the Devils, they would have played at Brendan Byrne Arena.
I'm driving, so I don't have it in front of me, but there is an arena, call an arena. It seemed like a rodeo place in Calgary from before the Saddle Dome. And I don't have the name in front of me, but I couldn't believe it was like a real place they played hockey games.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's right. That's right. What was the name of that place?
I don't remember. I'm gonna need to find Joe's spreadsheet.
Right when, the Flames moved to Calgary, they would have played in before the Olympic Arena was. Yes. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And also Rochester, Joe.
Rochester twice in the early 2000s, Blue Cross Arena. Yep, found that in there.
They played Washington there.
Yeah, I learned that like every arena from like pre-1985 was called the Coliseum. Somewhere like, where did the Cleveland Barons play? The Coliseum at Richfield. Just a million of those.
Right. How about the Stampede Corral for Calgary?
That's it. Yeah.
Stampede Corral.
All right. Yeah.
It's some sort of redundant.
It sounds like a steakhouse that I'm about to drive
down. Right. Yes, enjoy your meal at the Stampede Corral later, Joe. Yeah. What was Vancouver Bulldog in the 70s?
Oh, it was definitely a Coliseum.
Pacific
Coliseum. Yes.
Pacific Coliseum sounds right. My question would be, between the two of you, how many of these 83 arenas would you have been to?
Oh God, I'm going to get lost in this.
I mean, not that
many. You've been to Hartford, I'm sure, right?
I've been to Hartford. I've been to Long Island. I've been to Madison Square Garden.
I've been to the Spectrum.
Right. I have been to the Spectrum, not for a hockey game, but for a 76ers game.
I was there.
If that counts.
I was there for an Amherst game.
Okay.
Does that count? I want to count it.
All right.
Yep. What about City Field for this?
I've not been to City Field.
I have not.
I've been to the Bills Stadium. Joe, let me just count this on our own here, but thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem. Have
all right. All right.
It's just so noisy.
Sneaky Joe from our morning show.
Sneaky Joe. Very sneaky. Some very sneaky entries.
Never got to the Forum.
I have
been
the Forum.
To the Bell Center. Been to Maple Leaf Gardens. Been to the Air Canada Center. I'll stop. I'm going to just keep ticking these off.
I want to know what my number is. I think about this a lot for baseball. Yeah. I just went to Philadelphia for fantasy draft weekend like I do every year and was talking to a guy there about stadiums because there are two teams this year playing in new stadiums. The Rays are playing in the Yankees spring training stadium, Steinbrenner Field. And the A's are playing in Sacramento. There's that again. The A's are playing in Sacramento. So I asked him, Jeff, if he had plans to go. He's a Mariners fan. Do you have plans to go see the Mariners in either of those two places? And he said, yes. I said, well, how many stadiums do you need to have gone to the mall? And he said, none. He's already been to the mall. The mall, it sounded like I was saying. He's already been to every current Major League stadium. And I think, like, I have kept a list. I used to care about this and try to see if I could, you know, check a box if I was in a city just for some other reason. That kind of ended when I was in Seattle 2 years ago and had nothing to do. And it was an early flight the next morning, and my family was all crashing in the hotel room, and the Blue Jays were there, which would be the best team to see in Seattle. Like, there's a huge following for the Jays in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I could have just bought a ticket, gotten a cab, and gone and done that, and then had Seattle, but I just didn't have the energy to do it. I feel like I'm not really trying anymore if that's if I'm not going to do that.
You're like looking at the stadium from your hotel window, and you don't go to the game.
Yeah, almost, right. But, yeah, he's been to all of them, and, you know, the point was I've just never thought of it like that for hockey. It was so cool before they replaced the home arena that had been there forever with a big building that looks the same as everybody else's, which is what Buffalo did. It's what everybody did. It's what Montreal did. Chicago Stadium for a playoff game against the Leafs was a highlight.
Oh, that's huge.
And that organ, how does it not fall? Hanging out over the end of the arena. Just incredible. The sounds and the...
That is a score to beat. That is a score to beat. To be there for that. The best... Boy, tripping a wire now. Like, what? Like the building, the teams, the stakes. This is a regular season game, but I saw the final Montreal visit to Maple Leaf Gardens.
Okay.
That was incredible to be at. Like, really emotional. Like, really cool. I mean, it wasn't that emotional for me, but you know, obviously, the feeling in the building was incredible.
Yes.
To be there for that.
I went to the last game ever played at the Gardens, which was against Chicago. And it was a birthday present from my girlfriend to go to this game with her. And just insane. I was watching it recently because I have made friends with a guy who's a Leafs fan, lives out west, and just sort of fell back into that.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs got crushed. Gilmore was on the Blackhawks, and it was Jocelyn Thibeault in goal for the Blackhawks.
I remember watching the game on TV. You're right about Cops, by the way. That same year, what year did you say the Sabres played in Sacramento and in Minneapolis? Did you say
93-4 was the season.
Oh, okay. 92-3, Joe's got on this list here, they played the Canucks and the Devils at Cops. So I don't know if that was like some series where...
I think the same thing.
14, or maybe they... Yeah, I'm wondering if it was like a weekend and they played like a, you know, four teams came... Or if it was two different entirely, you know, times of the year that they played the Devils and then the Canucks later on. But...
I don't know.
It says Devils / Canucks, 92-93. They lost both.
That's the year before.
Right, I know. I'm saying it's a different year.
Oh.
But you said that they ever play Cops, and I was like, I don't remember them ever doing it, but there it is.
Yeah, okay.
I've got the spreadsheet if you can't tell.
I got to go find it. I also went to the last Rangers game at the Forum, and that was also amazing. That was even better. The Canadians, I think, had just traded Patrick Waugh. Remember that? When he stormed off the ice and said to the owner, "I'm never playing for you again," as he left. And then he was traded, and there was electricity in the building. Great game. 2-2 game. Nobody left thinking, this was the ties suck. Nobody left the Forum that night complaining about ties.
Right.
It was that good. This is the definition of trip to wire here. Good stuff from Joe. We did choose to save his one specific trivia question from this, and I'm glad we did because Joe wants to use that tomorrow. So thanks to him for calling in. The Sabres, the whole point, which was his, brainstorm, that they're playing in a new arena tonight at Utah, playing there for the first time. And he said that'll be the 82nd arena or stadium the Sabres will ever have played in.
Tampa is on the board here with a game against the Sabres in Orlando, by the way. I don't remember that at all. I do remember the Orlando Solar Bears of the AHL. I don't know what era that was, but I remember I used to be into collecting minor league jerseys. I don't think I ever bought one, but I remember seeing the logo in the jersey, the Orlando Solar Bears.
Very good. If you had a favorite arena or arena or stadium memory you want to share, we'll look for it. 803-0550 is the number. Paul joins us at 6. It's 8 o'clock pregame for Sabres and Hockey Club tonight from Utah. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back after the update. This is WGR.
McDaniel's going to the paint to score. He's not going to pass.
Lawrence bumped inside. Count the bucket. They're going to get Diani. That'll be his second.
One of the highlights of today's action from the Georgia game. Just so in love with this spreadsheet that Joe just did. I think I've been to 22 of these places.
Wow, you counted already. I did not. I did not do that. I'm distracted by a minor crisis, which maybe I'll talk about. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was counting them in my head walking around during the break, and now I'm looking at the list.
Yeah.
And not that many are for Sabres games. I was at the Capitals Arena for the NCAA tournament.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm just going by, if I've set foot. I set foot in the Boston Garden. I met a friend there, but I never went to a game. Counting it. Bam. It's two different lists. It's the ones where you've actually been inside, and then I'm not counting the Forum, because I drove past the Forum and was at a stoplight and looked at it. But it did not go.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you that. And I don't even want to really give you the garden.
Well,
I mean, you didn't go to an event there?
No, I didn't go to anything. It was just to meet a friend.
Yeah.
Who was there. Didn't even really look into the bowl.
You weren't there.
I was barely in there.
Yeah.
Barely.
That doesn't count. You've been to the new place, though, in Boston, right?
I have. For a Sabres game.
I have not been to the new place. I've been to the
Bandits.
I was at the garden, but I've not been to the new place.
Or it wasn't the Bandits. It was the Nighthawks. I did a lacrosse game there. Against Boston. Overtime game, by the way, Bulldog, before you ask. If the game was decided in regulation, it was not. Frank is with us. Hello, Frank.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for calling.
No problem. So I'm just curious as to why we would re-sign Bryson after the past season. And then I saw a post by Joe Marino, and he said that he's got fingers crossed that we don't just roll it back next year and hope this wasn't a fluke. And as for a bad choice in the draft, I just hope we don't trade up with somebody in our own division that comes back to bite us. So I just want to hear your opinion.
Or conference, for that matter, like last year with Kansas City, not in our division. But, I heard somebody make that same point earlier today. I was listening to the morning show, and they used that same phrasing about the division with Kansas City. I'm like, they're not the division. They're in the conference. They're in our way, but it's not the division.
Anyway, it wasn't Frank?
No, I don't think it was Frank. I don't remember now, but anyway, maybe it was oddity that he would have said called us twice in the day, or that two different people would have made that same mistake. But anyway, Bryson, I don't know. We talked a little bit about it earlier, and I don't even care. Fine, he's your seventh or eighth defenseman. That's it. Okay, great. Move on. As far as what they're going to do, I mean, I don't know. It's possible they find another partner to make the kind of trade they just made with Cousins and Norris. It'd be nice if Norris could actually play more than a couple of games before missing time, which is the problem with him, which is definitely why Ottawa wanted to move him. But I assume that's why they wanted to move him. I shouldn't say definitely, because it could have been something else I don't know about. But he's had a tough injury ride, same shoulder, three surgeries, ouch. Don't know what's bothering him now. But maybe you can do that. But I'm always on guard at this time of the year for all the talk about we're coming together and everyone, we love each other and all the, I mean, there was plenty of we love each other early in the year. It just didn't really show up on the ice when guys were lying there bleeding and guys, players just ignored it. But that's improved. But all the talk at this time of the year makes me nuts. There's nothing at stake. I think it's one thing to play your best when, you know, you're just riding it out and you want to feel good going into the summer because, you know, you had maybe a good stretch run or something and everybody's coming together. It's another thing to do it when it really matters, when the standings still are relevant to your existence. And this team, I think year over year, has loosened up and played maybe their best hockey when it hasn't mattered. And conversely, has been pretty tight and prone to long losing skids that annihilate any hope you realistically have for the season when the stakes are big. So I don't know if that's going to change, but I understand why someone who follows the team or analyzes the team and talks about the team would say they're bracing for them to just run it back. Because like you said, when we were talking before Greenway and Zucker both resigned, if they do that, where are the spots that are available? And this came up again briefly earlier, and I said, well, a full year of Kulik is, you know, will be different. And he's been promising, although he's out with a concussion currently. Norris is a big add if he can get on the ice. There's always an if or a but. I don't know how much more you should expect them to do, especially if they finish strong. I don't think the GM is going to get fired. I don't think they would have let him make the Norris for Cousins trade if that were going to be the case. That can change. The owner can be temperamental about that. Maybe Kevin Adams will do something that offends him in the spring or summer, and they'll move on him. But I understand why you'd be worried about them just running it back.
Well, even this move with Bryson does more of that. It's just, why did it have to happen? I think the Sabres think they're making a bigger point that's important. Because of their own failures in messaging and also, more importantly, being attractive in the first place to their own players, to other players, like this whole thing. Adams, I think, at least in terms of the image of the Sabres, didn't help when he went into his palm trees thing, right? Like, so what they've done, and Adams, I would say, I appreciate that. When he's been on with us, like he explains it, and he's done it honestly, and he's backed it up. He wanted to keep Greenway, and he wanted to keep Zucker, and it wasn't like necessarily obvious that they should do those things, and they did. So he wasn't just giving us a speech. And then Bryson is a version of this too. It's all one more thing in the offseason that you can't do to change a team that is right now last in the conference and going for a 14th straight season without even making the playoffs. I mean, that's just incredible. And if I had that, and I didn't have this cloud over my head about whether I can attract players that I may have put there myself even, I would want the most flexibility I could have to make changes. And these moves each give you less and less. So right now they have one UFA, Reimer. That's it. They signed Zucker, they signed Greenway, Bryson was another one, and you've got a half dozen or so restricted free agents like Paterka,
okay,
who will be interesting, and also Quinn, and I don't know what I want to do there. That also kind of came and went.
That's got to be – Paterka could be a big deal. Like Paterka could qualify for some level of what they did with Thompson and Cousins. I don't know if it has to reach. Well, it might reach those numbers just because of, you know, inflation. Because he's not flashed to the extent that those guys had by that point when they got their deals. But I would understand wanting to lock him up. I think he's still got a lot of promise.
People talk trades with him, though. Like, he's in the speculation.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to make of that. You know, he would be an attractive piece. He you know, to me, and he doesn't even have, you know, the baggage of Cousins being a ghost for 2 years running. And you saw what you were able to get for him, although, again, it's not in the lineup, and who knows. But Paterka, you could do well, I think, if you can find the right match, right? It's got to be a guy that doesn't have no move. Like, it's the world is not your oyster in this situation. But he could be attractive, but I think if he gets re-signed, you're looking at, you know, $6-7 million a year, I think. And I think that's warranted with today's prices. Quinn, to me, has got to be like a bridge 1 or 2 year thing, because he just has not been the same player. He's been the same player he was, but it was such a short amount of time to even say that. But I think it's fair to wonder if he's ever going to be the player that you thought he was going to be because of the injuries. Those can be very hard to come back from. Maybe another offseason of training, he comes back here and hits it, and he looks more like the guy that showed so much promise. But we're a long ways from, oh, we're going to use all our cap room re-signing all of our guys. Like, he was prominent on that list when Adams made that point, I think. And I don't think he should figure into that at all.
Quinn.
Yeah.
Also, there's McLeod. 25, nice season. There's him.
He's an RFA coming up.
Yep.
Jeez, I was hoping he was under. That's been a success story. He's been good for them.
Well, I've got 10 forwards under contract for next year already. Without McLeod, without Paterka, without Quinn, without anybody new. I've got five defensemen under contract for next year already, without Byram. I think signing Byram to what market rate would be a tremendous mistake. Maybe they can move Samuelson. He's not super expensive. He's locked up for 5 or 6 more years, 4.2. It's not great, but it's not, you know, gouge your eyes out.
That salary shouldn't be a horrendous. It's not horrendous. And that's the best I can do.
It's not horrendous. That's what I'm saying, too. And you've got Lukanen for 4 more years, and then presumably Levi, but that's one. Like, you have almost no openings, and that was part of the plan here with Zucker and Greenway and now Bryson. Like, this was what I think the Sabres felt like they needed to do. Individual players, sure, is always the argument you can make, but I think there was a bigger purpose to it.
Well,
and this is the result.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have almost no flexibility, relatively speaking, on a team finishing last.
Unless you can find trade partners, right. I have some sympathy for him and them. Again, like, they've made the situation, and I definitely think he made it worse with the palm trees and taxes news conference. I mean, that was just a horrible thing to put out yourself to get people talking about and thinking about within the league. Just awful. So that definitely hurts. But given where they're standing now, like, he can't go back in time and fix that. And nor can he change the outcome of the Eichel decision they made about the surgery and all the things that I think are hurting them from an image standpoint within the league, with players. So you've got guys who are willing to stay here that are veteran players. You go into the offseason, and you know they've been a certain level of decent for you, even though your results have not been good. They were. I like Greenway, and Zucker has been good. You let them go, there's no guarantee you can replace them with commensurate guys. So you don't know in free agency. You're probably going to get worse and maybe, who knows, pay more if you go into the marketplace with the reputation they've got. Again, that doesn't absolve them of the responsibility they have in creating the reputation in the first place, but he's got to work with what he can work with. And so I understand keeping those guys.
Thank you, Frank. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll analyze this some more once Paul Hamilton joins the show at 6. The Sabres are in Utah for a game against Utah, which is going to start at 9 with pregame at 8. See how nice,
good job,
how benevolent I can be?
Good job getting through that.
How benevolent I can be sometimes. But, you know, that can change right back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Zachary, he'll put up a three. No good. Rebound, a scramble. Hunter has it. Hunter at the buzzer. It's good, but Cowboy up. McNeese has its first ever NCAA tournament victory.
I don't know this voice. It sounds like Chris Brown. It's not. I'm pretty sure it's not.
Definitely not.
Sounds to me like Chris Brown.
Would it be okay to hear it again? I feel like I did kind of recognize it. Is that doable?
All right, let's.
Might be annoying.
Hang in there, everybody. Here it comes again.
All right.
Zachary, he'll put up a three. No good. Rebound, a scramble. Hunter has it. Hunter at the buzzer. It's good, but Cowboy up. McNeese has its first ever NCAA tournament victory.
I was just looking to kill time.
No.
I don't have it. No, I thought I might know it, but I don't have it.
You know they won by two?
Wow.
That last shot cut the lead to two. 69-67. At halftime, it was 31-13, right?
Right.
McNeese. So they're up 18, and there's 44 points on the scoreboard. And we were in a break, and I looked to see the live odds. And Clemson was plus 420 to win, which was kind of interesting, even though they were down 18. Like, they could do it.
I guessed it would be half that. Like, I walked out of the room, walked back, and I said plus 180 was my guess.
4-1 to win, which they didn't, so that would have been a losing bet. That would have been exactly my kind of bet.
Right, sure.
It was right.
Yeah.
They lost.
Yeah.
And the total was like 113, which would have meant 70 points in the second half. We got to 136. The second half, just 69-67 does not look like a game that at halftime was 31-13, but it was. So McNeese against Purdue in the second round. Houston will probably get Gonzaga, which is up by 21 on Georgia in its game. And what else have we got here today?
And Houston already won today?
Houston won 78-40 over Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville.
Okay.
I believe it is.
Gotcha.
We have Wisconsin winning its game. BYU is up 12.
Yep, 7:48 to go I have.
All right. Wisconsin will play the winner of that game. I used Wisconsin in Survivor today because Big Ten, one win maybe. Just not expecting Wisconsin to make a run, but I don't know anything. Auburn and Creighton will meet in the second round. Auburn won by 20. Creighton won the first game of the day, like resoundingly over Louisville, 89-75. And, you know, we've got a lot left tonight. Games start as late as 10 after 10. Same thing tomorrow. As you know, the tournament, every year, this is what you get. It's great.
Andrew Catalan, by the way.
It was?
I was going to guess him.
Well, I know he's there,
that's
but...
That's what I thought when I first heard that. That's Andrew Catalan. Then I heard it back. I'm like, I don't want to be wrong. What a jerk I am. I should have just said Andrew Catalan. I had it.
Stupid. Didn't sound like him to me, yeah. But that's a me problem.
I guess
speaking
so.
Of basketball, Pat Riley turns 80 today.
I'll bet he doesn't look a day over 73.
You know, Pat Riley, what a career, what a life. Who is the all-time NBA coach?
Phil Jackson.
Really? Okay. I don't want it to be Phil Jackson, but okay. I think I'd pick Riley.
What's the ring totals?
I don't know.
Jackson's got
five,
gotta,
six.
Gotta have them, I think.
Well, as a player too.
Oof. Wasn't.
I'll look
about
it
player.
Up. Either way, I think it might be closer than that than you think. I mean, three or four with the Lakers. Three, Riley, and then Miami, executive five or six.
Yeah.
Player, yeah. Maybe one or
but
two.
Jackson's
more.
Got. Six with the Bulls alone, and then Kobe and Shaq.
Lakers. Yeah, that's true. And he has a player right. championship, at least one with the Knicks. So he's around 10? Okay.
That's going to be hard to beat. But Riley's had an incredible career and has stayed in the game in a way that Jackson just simply never seemed interested in doing.
He just wanted to go,
you know, I don't think he's quite like at the Aaron Rodgers level, but definitely there's some mountains and some retreating, I think, out there in Phil Jackson's life.
Maybe.
I get that impression.
Okay, that's probably the right answer. Auerbach, two. Anybody else? Popovich? Not quite on the same level.
No.
Okay. Paul Hamilton, speaking of people on high levels, Paul Hamilton coming up after the update. The Sabres are in Utah. You can't run the ads and then not run the story. Sabres and Utah Hockey Club, pregame at 8 tonight. Paul next here on WGR.